Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to another episode of The Brew Ha Ha. And usually we start these things with a soliloquy, but we're not going to do that today. I have a guest right off the bat. Please welcome to The Brew Ha Ha, Tom Cisa.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm a Brew Ha Ha fan.
And, well, we'll talk about you being a Beastie Boys fan. Or you not being a Beastie Boys fan. The reason you're on The Brew Ha Ha today is because we used to work together at MTV2, and many of our mid-afternoon conversations would have made for great episodes of The Brew Ha Ha. You are also on here because in my life, I consider you a dance expert.
Ooh, really?
So right now, can we give your resume right now?
Sure, I guess. Go ahead.
All right, MTV.
Are you giving it?
I'll do it, and then you jump in.
Yeah.
So MTV2 researcher, DJ, and then you also wrote for a dance website or a dance music magazine?
Yeah, I wrote for onbeat.com for a while.
Okay. And currently programmer at MTV Networks.
Yes, on-air promos. Yep. Programming, scheduling, media planning.
So we'll start at the beginning. Beastie fandom. When did it begin? Did it ever end?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Take us back, Tom.
Oh, geez. I'm taking you back to License to Ill, I guess, where it all started for a lot of kids, you know, especially growing up in the suburbs on Long Island. I mean, that was it. When License to Ill came out, it was one of those game changers. Everyone I know had it. Everyone listened to it. And I still remember being in my little brother Greg's room and just listening to it and just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, this is insane, you know, they're getting away with this and all this stuff. And so that was my first foray into Beastie World. But and then over the years, you know, it's just always been, you know, I was just thinking about this when we were talking about it the other day. It's like they've always been there. They've always popped up somewhere. And I was thinking about it in my life, whether it was that time or, you know, the first time you hear Paul's Boutique, and I was one of those people like, I don't know. And it's one of those things that when everyone's like, oh, yeah, Paul's Boutique's the greatest one that they ever did, the greatest record they ever did. And then you start, at the time, it was just so different from License to Ill. So it's just like, okay, I guess this is what they do. And I knew very few people that liked it. And then all of a sudden, nowadays, everyone loves it, including me, because you grow to appreciate what they did on the record. So, but then, you know, like high school, we're listening to, you know, So What You Want. I have memories of being driving around Long Island with my friends, and yeah.
Isn't your favorite Beastie Boys album Paul's Boutique?
It's funny that you say that, actually, because I think it's one of those records that you don't really, like at a time when it was there, I didn't even realize what was going on half of the time, because it really is a random record. And, you know, it's all, everyone knows the famous, like, this record can never be made nowadays. It's just called, it costs too much money. And then, at the time, I didn't get it. And then as I kind of got into DJing and I started just really appreciating sampling and what the, you know, the Dust Brothers did on that with them. I mean, it's incredible. It's an incredible record. I mean, but.
So when did it hit you? When were you like, wow, all right, I love Paul's Boutique now?
Oh, geez. Probably right when I started DJing, when I started really getting into, you know, breaks and samples. And I mean, even listening to it then, you knew, oh, I know that. That's Zeppelin song or whatever. You know, you pick it. That's an old. I mean, I didn't know half of, like, the funk records and stuff that they used on there. I had no idea about that until later on. You start listening to breaks, and you're like, oh, this is this break, this is that break. And you just start appreciating how, you know, it's such a big, big record.
So let's talk about you being a DJ. So you're having a set right now, tonight. What Beastie Boys songs are you playing to get the party started?
Well, I mean, of course, like, you know, when you're DJing, it's you kind of feeling your way around to find out what the crowd likes and stuff. So, I mean, and the Beasties always kind of have those records that fly around. The record that I would probably always feel comfortable with pretty much any audience, a rock audience, a hip-hop audience, or just an all-around, you know, party crowd or something, is probably Shake Your Rump. Yeah, you can always play that. It's just funky, and, you know, it kind of works. But, you know, it's to pick that. That's the one I would probably say. Like, if I had a, you know, gun to my head, here we are playing it. What's the crowd? You could do it. But I mean, you name it. I mean, whether Get It Together. I mean, you can always play the old stuff too. Like, you know, any of that Paul Revere and Brass Monkey and those. Those records always fly too. I feel like, you know, something, especially as you get, like, if you're not starting out, maybe even later on, because everybody knows them, and it's like, you know, girls, same thing. You just play those little, you know, ding, that little ding, ding, ding. You know, just like, there's people just, their ears perk up, and you get some screams and stuff like that.
Gets so the booty always, shaking.
Always, yeah, they always do. But even, and the newer stuff too, like anything, like, you know, Triple Trouble or.
Oh yeah,
and people just it has that old school feel, and you know you can always use that if you're playing some old hip hop or even some new stuff, and you know if you're going funk, whatever, however you're getting there, it's you know they always have stuff, they have a ton of stuff, you know, and so that was the time too, like when they you know broke in that early stuff, especially because you know hip hop still had that kind of, it wasn't as brooding or as you know it's kind of. It was, you know, party music. It was party. It was meant for that. Yeah.
Party for the old school peeps.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite Beastie Boys remixes? Because over the years, you have passed along some nice Beastie Dance remixes.
Yeah.
Any that stick out?
Well, I mean, honestly, because they've been, everybody has sampled them. I mean, whether it's, you know, hip hop people or, you know, electronic people, of course. I mean, and from all genres, I mean, they've been used all the time. I mean, their own, like, if you're talking official remixes of theirs, you know, I mean, everyone always thinks of that Body Movement one that Fatboy Slim did, because, I mean, that's almost like the one that takes over the original. I mean, I know, again, I'm you know, talking with Beastie fans here.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But the Beastie Boys think so because they released it properly as the Body Movin' single.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like when you think about that, like the original is good too, but that's the one. If you play that out, people, they think that's the actual track, that's the original single. Like you play that one and people are like, oh yeah, it's the Body Movin' and Beasties. It's like, yeah.
Because we were talking about the Sabotage remix.
Oh, your new one, yeah, the one that came out last year,
Alex something.
Yeah, why can't I think of it now? That one's tremendous. That one's, that one's great. I mean, it's like very electro. It's very, you know, they took like really saturated mix and stuff. That one's great. Yeah.
I don't know if you know the one. It was an intergalactic remix. They put it out. It was sort of like a maxi single because you had a couple remixes of Intergalactic, and then there was this one where it was just kind of like a rave version of it. I don't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah, the Intergalactic's got a great story because that was Alex Petrick, that was the mix of the one. But the Intergalactic thing was really amazing. That one's been so sampled by everyone. It was the original there. I think when it was released on single, it was this Prisoners of Technology mix, which is like a drum and bass, like a jump-up mix from a UK group, the Prisoners of Technology. That was kind of a big one. But there was also this bootleg that went out that was actually, this is like the Daft Punk tie-in to them, which was actually this guy, Alan Brax, who was a French DJ, still produces great records, and he worked with Tom Bangalter on the Stardust record, the music center. Better With You, but he did a track called Vertigo, which is on Bangalter's indie label, Roulet, and it was this track called Vertigo, and it got remixed by Tom Bangalter from Daft Punk, and then somebody put the acapella of Intergalactic on top of it, and I think it was released as a white label called Bestiality, was what it was called, but there was a big story about it, too, because no one ever knew who did it, and it just started popping up, and everyone was playing. I mean, the Daft Punk used to play it when they used to play DJ sets, and it was I forgot the whole thing, but there was a guy, I think, that came out that said that he did it. It was this guy, Rob J or something, DJ Rob J or something, that he takes, he's an English guy, I think, and he took, you know, said that he was the one that originated it and just kind of set it around, and someone, bootleggers, got a hold of it and then started playing it. But I mean, and then everyone played it. I mean, I have a white, but it's not like an official one, and it's kind of junky. The actual recording of it, it's kind of junky, but yeah, everyone played, like Soul Wax, all the mashup guys did it and stuff.
All right, and let's talk about, since we're talking about electronic artists sampling the Beastie Boys,
right?
There is a sore subject in Tom Seize's soul.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Prodigy's Fat of the Land album. Parts of Root Down sampled in a Prodigy song. So we know that the Prodigy love the Beastie Boys. So yeah. In 1998, Fat of the Land blows up. Firestarter, Smack My Bitch Up. Prodigy on the festival circuit. Beastie Boys on the festival circuit promoting Hello Nasty. They're playing the same festival. The Beastie Boys approach Prodigy backstage and ask them not to perform Smack My Bitch Up because, you know, it's disrespectful to women. Sore subject to you. You said this should have been one of the top Beastie Boys letdowns on the letdown episode of the Brouhaha. Clear the air today, Tom Seize.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I was listening to it. I couldn't believe that you didn't throw that in there, because I know you do like the Prodigy, and I know you appreciate them. And it just, that whole thing just kind of blows my mind that that those guys would approach them after the authors of License to Ill and all of this misogynistic stuff and the way they were to turn around then and to say, you know, we don't really appreciate it, we don't like. You know, and I appreciate, you know, the domestic violence, but that's not what the track was. And I mean, being that they were old school guys who knew all of these, knew these guys. I mean, the sample came from an Ultramagnetic MCs track called "Give the Drummer Some," which is a classic, and MCs know that, and that's, they grabbed that. And then to go after these guys and say, we really would appreciate it if you didn't play it out live. And this is right when they had just released a single, if I remember. And to say that, and you know, apparently what they kind of were like, agree to disagree, kind of from what I remember, or something like, all right, well, we're going to do our thing, we're going to play it, and that's it. And they're like, well, okay, you know, we don't appreciate it, but whatever, that kind of. And I can't believe that they would do that. I just can't, after all that. And I know that they, I mean, we were talking the other day, and you know, they kind of got to a point where they, you know, they were kind of talking a little more pro-socially.
Right, because in 1998... the Beastie Boys would stop down their sets, and they would preach to the audience. And I was down with it. I was like, preach away. Preach about politics, about misogyny. I'm down with it. But during these shows, a lot of fans would boo. And I was shocked at one of these shows when they start booing MCA. I was like, you're here to see the Beastie Boys. Hear them out.
Yeah, you know what you're getting to at that point. I mean, they'd already kind of jumped into the whole, you know, kind of activism thing, and it's just, you know, I don't know.
And I know the Prodigy story. The Prodigy story turned a lot of people off, like it did you. And yeah. I just want you to know. And we talked about this when we ate lunch at Schnippers. But after 98, the Beastie Boys never preached on stage again.
Huh.
Like they would get a little more into it during the shows around election time, but other than that, it was just a few lines of stage banter and back to the music.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, and I can appreciate it. And the thing is, too, that, you know, I mean, say what you want. And you always kind of thought that, you know, especially on that record, I mean, that you mentioned before, they had sampled the Beasties on that, Funky Sh.
Yeah, you can swear on the Brouhaha.
Is that legal? I didn't
know. Oh, yeah, we've done it before.
But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, they had sampled them there, so you figure they even probably had some kind of connection through the back channels of record label dealing and sampling and all that stuff, and that you figure that they might have been cool about certain things, but that he brought it up was kind of interesting. And then that, you know, that after that, Liam Howlett from the Prodigy, who's also an excellent DJ, he had done a mixtape, officially a mixtape record, the Dirt Chamber Sessions, where two Beastie tracks are actually on the record. So I guess if they gave them even, and this was after this whole thing, so
right.
I guess that's the case. They probably were like, oh, okay, we still like you, we still respect you, that kind of thing and stuff.
Because with that night of the festival, though, didn't they go on stage and they say, we do whatever we want?
Yeah, they got all Brit on you, you know, like... But, you know, and two, which I didn't know, I just remember just checking it, was that they were actually both, they played that same night, I think. They were both playing, they're sharing that stage. So, and I, from what I remember or what I saw, was that they actually played the same night. So it was like Prodigy came on, and then I think Beasties came on after that.
All right, but, so as a fan of the Beastie Boys, as a fan of electronic music, how did you feel when that happened?
You know, it was confusing. It was just one of those confusing moments where you're kind of like, you know the Beasties, you know them. You know, I mean, I said, growing up the way I did and listening to them the whole time, you know, and I said, I was never a head-through-the-wall kind of fan, but I do appreciate them and what they do. And you kind of were always like, huh, really? Kind of just like, really? You're going to give these guys nonsense about it? I remember you guys jumping up on stage and pouring beers on girls and doing all this stuff, and... This is an old school sample from an old school track.
All right. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that argument about them pouring beer on girls and everything, because they advanced after that.
Yeah, and they did.
They grew up a little bit after License to Ill. But I liked your argument that the sample "Smack My Bitch Up" was sort of like a metaphor, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he says, you know, in the original, it's like I'm changing my pitch up. Smacking my bitch up like a pimp, and that kind of, I think it was just kind of like about a change. I even think, you know, in styles or something like that, that Cool Keith from Ultramagnetic Obsessed was actually trying to make. And, but again, I didn't write the song, so I don't want to make, what does this mean? I think I even remember seeing Liam was like, I don't even can really explain it 100%, but it's just, the fact that they're so lyrically nimble, that the Beasties, and that they do have their own little, you know, funny puns here and there, always throughout their music, you know,
yeah.
Not just the License Still, that they would kind of accept that, you know? So I take it all in, Jim. It's never just one thing. It's the whole thing.
You're a thoughtful man. You think a lot. You ponder.
When it comes to this, I do take it a little bit seriously, so, you know?
Well, because I always side with the Beastie Boys, but when that happened, I thought to myself, well, come on. If you look at the music video. It's mm-hmm. It's girl-on-girl crime. So it's not like, you know, a dude hitting a girl. It's a girl hitting a girl. And that sort of made it, you know, okay for me.
Oh. Really? That's an interesting take on it. Yeah, it doesn't make it to me. It was just kind of an odd thing, and it was a blip. But to me, it was something that should have been on those on your top 10, you know, missteps of the Beasties. Because was like
top Beastie letdowns. Where would you rank that 1 to 10?
Oh,
would you rank it high on the list or low on the list?
I'd probably put it up higher.
Okay.
Even just because of where they were, and they never, you know, it's like it's being a little judgmental and being the kind of openly liberal people that they are, I figure they'd kind of be like, well, we don't appreciate it, but we respect their right to say what they're going to say.
Right.
So as a misstep for them, I think that's kind of high up. Do I think it's 1 or 2? No. But it's close.
Okay. Because the Beastie Boys grew up from License to Ill, and I think they also grew up from their preachiness of the 98 era, because a few years ago, you have the Beastie Boys performing in a festival, I believe overseas, with Snoop Dogg, who, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. I mean, that's, you want to talk about himself. I mean, he didn't sing that lyric on stage, but they're with Snoop Dogg on stage singing Paul Revere.
Right.
So I think they grew up from, you know, the preachy era of 98.
Yeah.
Now, when did you come back to the Beastie Fold?
Because
I remember when I met you in the early 2000s, this was during the hiatus. It seemed like you liked the Beastie Boys, but there was always some animosity. But so when did you come back?
Honestly, when I came back was like where I came back and I was like, all right, I'm going to have all this stuff and get back into it, was probably right when I saw them live, which was with a little help from my friend Jim here.
Yeah, Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, so I'm at the Coliseum, and they were great. They were just amazing live, and I was really surprised, actually. All the years I always liked them and never saw them, and I was glad I finally got to, so thank you. But it wound up being a great show. I remember some of the weird things about it, too. Like, I remember, I think Northern State was there, Strong Island's finest. They were there, and they kind of name-checked them in the crowd, which was interesting, and then... they just killed it. I mean, they were so good. And Mike was with them, and I, you know, being a DJ, I mean, I don't scratch. I mean, my jaw is always to the floor with that guy. He's incredible. And, you know, nobody does what they do. Here it is. There's a DJ, and here's MCs, and this is it. There's no hype men. There's no other thing. And they just slay through their tracks.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. I was really blown away by that. That's kind of one of the things that I even appreciate when they, you know, kind of start jamming and brought the band in and started doing that too. And I thought that was cool too. And just, you know, it's like one of those things when you see a band live, you appreciate the energy that they put forth, but you also kind of, especially someone like them, their catalog is incredible, and they just have so many good songs, and it was a great show. And I think that's when I kind of got back in the fold and started really looking, you know, and that's probably right around the time, like in the early 2000s when I really started, I mean, I was still messing around with DJing, but I started playing out a little bit more, and you start getting, you know, vibes off of people when you're playing some of their stuff, and everybody always, there's certain tracks that just never left my box and still don't, and there's always a Beastie track in there somewhere. I don't think I ever played it, playing ahead of you guys sometimes. I think every time I did, I played a Beastie Boy track or some kind of, you know, a remix, a bootleg or something like that. I mean,
and we loved it. We loved every second of it.
Know your audience, Jim.
Now, speaking of hip hop, why is it, and maybe you can answer this question,
oh boy,
that the hip hop group has almost disappeared from hip hop?
Yeah.
Like, well, the Beastie Boys, like, I almost want to drag young kids to their shows and be like, this is how it is, this is how it should be, and this is how it was back in the day. You've got a DJ behind the decks. He's mixing in a whole bunch of instrumentals during one song, and you've got three guys throwing lyrics off each other.
Yeah.
So hip-hop today, it's usually, for the most part, one dude, and you can't name his DJ.
Right.
And when he plays on TV, he doesn't even have a DJ. They just play the instrumental out of the PA.
Yep. I wish I had an answer for you on that one. I really don't know. I mean, it's so... That's why, like, some of the, you know, when you do see people, I kind of gravitate towards, like, the clips I think are phenomenal, and I just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a duo, this is great, you know, it's more than one person out on stage, and they're just so good, and they're just, like, their give and take is great. I mean, I'm a huge Public Enemy fan, and, I mean, they're not the definition of this, you know, it's just, like, that's what it is. There's nothing like that. There's no kind of... You know, I think it's the selling of hip-hop, which is so different now than it was then. I mean, you know, at that time, just the fact that the Run DMC and the Beastie Boys toured, you're just like, what? Like, this, imagine that, like, happening now, where you would have, you know, two groups playing together like that. I mean, groups. I mean, instead of just solo artists, you just don't get it. And I think it lyrically kind of helps, too, because you get diversity, and each one has their own style, and you know, the seamless blending of them. It's just, it's just something you just don't, you don't see anymore. I really don't have an answer. I don't know. I mean, it's probably all marketing and business and blah, 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 but, you know, the bands, you know, the hip-hop acts that I do like now, for the most part, are either duos or something like that.
Nameless hype men? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And DJs who, you know, don't really DJ. They just kind of drop records, and then they, I mean, some of them are good. I'm not knocking every hip-hop DJ. There's a lot of good ones out there. I mean, especially live, and normally the best MCs normally do get some of the best tour DJs out there. I mean, but still, some of the performance is just kind of lacking. And then you have, like, you know, and the Beasties always seem to grab that, whether it's Hurricane or Mike or someone. They just pull guys out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere. I mean, these guys all were established in the scene, but they just got them, and then boom, and they're sitting there dropping.
That's why I always say, and I'm not saying this because the Beastie Boys are my favorite group, but they are the best live hip-hop group that you can see today, and they're pushing freaking 50 years old.
Yeah.
I've seen Jay-Z. I've seen the Beastie Boys. To me, the Beastie Boys put on a better live show than Jay-Z, and I don't want to get into an argument about being just an MC or albums, But if you talk the live medium, Beastie Boys are the best out there.
Yeah.
They're scratching records, and they're rhyming, and they're jumping around, and they're putting on a show, and they play the whole freaking song. I can't tell you how many hip-hop shows I've been to where they'll play like a verse, and I'm like, all right, that's it. And then they go into another song, and they play another verse. I'm like, play the whole freaking song!
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's like I just play clips and pieces. It's like that's the whole thing. You're sitting there, and you're looking up, and there's, Mixmaster Mike there communicating with aliens half the time, No one's under, it's just the guys all over the place. And the Beasties don't miss a step. They kind of work with him. You can see, like, all this stuff. It's like James Brown, like, queuing up his band. I mean, just, like, hands. Seriously, it is. And all of a sudden, they're jumping in. They're doing the three-man weave, and everyone's going crazy. Nobody does that. And it's just, like, that kind of communication that between MC and DJ is very much a lost art. I'm not saying it doesn't exist in some cases, but for the most part, on the whole, it's a lost art. And it's so great when they do that. So I hope they hold on the mic and keep them going.
I know. Now, have you heard any of the new stuff?
I did, actually, yeah. Some of the tracks that you kind of sent me along and picking up stuff. It's pretty good. There's a couple of, DIY, remixes out there and stuff. There's some things that I'm kind of into, some things I'm not. It's just tough with the Beasties, too, because they have so much, they have such a big fan following that, someone's always going to cut it up and do a mix of them. But the new stuff has got that nice, classic, like all the last, the last couple records, that old school bass, that mm-hmm. old school feel, and bass rap, the foundation, but then they have, all this new type of instrumentation and stuff like that. And I heard one of the tracks, the Pop the Balloon, is that what it's called?
Pop Your Balloon.
Pop Your Balloon has a synth kind of in it, I think.
It's got that, I don't know if it's like that Middle Eastern flavor. Pop Your Balloon.
Yeah, it's good.
April 19th. Yeah. April 19th, it's dropping.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You found this stuff out,
I was on the scene. I wonder how the Beastie Boys thought what they thought of me. I mean, it's not like a zillion people listen to the Brouhaha. We're giving out information to the MTV and VH1 folks. You're not supposed to put that on your podcast.
You're going to be like, wow, who's this guy, man? Because I think of all the times we were just talking before about all the things that you've been with them and been involved with them. I mean, whether it's the $2 bill in Vegas, which was an amazing show, and you kind of hosted that. You were in a tux, if I remember, you showed up at that.
I had to do it upright. I had to do it upright in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid the next time I see the Beastie Boys, they're going to be like, blah, 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 off the record, Jim.
Yeah.
No! Has it come to that? No!
No, it absolutely cannot. This is good. Bands need fans like you. They need, they need a place that, a message board that you can do this. Not just that now you have the radio, you have the show, and that's what people want.
Yeah.
It's good. No, it's all good, especially for a band like that. I mean, they're so big. It's never enough. That's why they go in these, not slumps, but they just are quiet for so long, dormant, if you would, for a bit, and then all of a sudden they come back out. You got to keep the fans excited.
That's right. You got to do something when the hiatuses are happening.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you for joining us on the Brouhaha.
Thanks for the invite. I love it. I love talking
for chatting about DJing and electronic music and the Prodigy.
Yes. It's all right.
I'm glad that you got to air that out, though, on the Brouhaha.
Yeah.
That's been festering for years.
Years. Angry. So angry. Can I just let it go?
When we come back, we will be joined by a Beastie Boys message board legend, Laver 1969, and he will take a stab at 20 questions. So don't nobody go nowhere.
I don't hang out with those guys, man. I ain't got nothing to do with those dudes. And then I saw your female with them too. What's up with her?
We have returned to the brouhaha, and joining us now, Beastie Boys message board legend, Laver, 1969. We made it happen today. Laver, welcome.
Thank you very much. I don't know about legend. I guess if you hang around long enough.
No! If you went on the message boards and you asked anyone who are among the five best posters, your name would be dropped.
Oh, stop it.
Now you, let's give some quick history. Laver 1969, you were born in 1969.
That is correct.
Laver, the dog running around in the five-piece chicken dinner video on the Sabotage Home video.
Correct.
Now, why not Rufus 1969? Or not Rufus, Julius 1969.
Yes, Julius. I thought Laver was just a cooler name.
And then
I always... pardon?
You checked it with Say Adams, right? The pronunciation, or you asked him about it?
Yeah, I asked him once. I said, how do you pronounce it? And I always thought it was Laver phonetically, and he said it was Lava. So I don't know if that's if I've been saying it wrong for a long time, or if, you know, who really says it out loud anyway when they look at it.
All right, yeah. So you could be Laver 1969 or Lava 1969.
Yeah.
First Beastie Boys show.
First Beastie Boys show was in the summer of 1987, the Together Forever tour.
Wow.
with Run DMC, and the Beasties opened for Run DMC that show, and they had this was after the License to Ill tour where they had the inflatable apparatus on the stage.
Now, were you allowed to see that? Did your parents let you?
You know. I think I came into the Beastie world shortly after that. I remember seeing something, and this is before the internet, so it was, you know, MTV, you were getting your information, and, you know, music was not the priority in my life at that time, but all of a sudden I heard License to Ill, and I just dove into everything I could find about them at that time. I do remember having to plead my case with my parents to let me go to the show, because they were going to... One of the councilwomen wanted to, like, cancel the Beastie Boys, and she was the same one that wanted to cancel Mardi Gras down in New Orleans for some reason or another. But the security at this show, and now I guess it's pretty much main state where they pat you down, but they had metal detectors and all this kind of stuff at the Beastie Boys show because they were afraid of some sort of violence, you know, that the Beasties were going to come and, you know, rape all the women or something crazy.
Sure, but did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. It was a great show, and I still remember they opened with No Sleep Till Brooklyn. They closed with Fight for Your Right to Party, and then they came back on stage with Run DMC for Walk This Way, like an encore deal.
Wow.
But I think Ad Rock was not on stage. It was just Mike D and MCA for that encore.
Yeah. Lucky.
Didn't you say cool.
You saw a show where you saw Molly Ringwald?
I thought I saw Molly Ringwald on the side of the stage during the Beastie Boys set, because rumor had it they were dating back then. So I think I remember seeing her, or what appeared to be her.
And then when did you see them live following that?
It was on the Check Your Head tour. Oh. I saw them three times on Check Your Head, because they played, they toured twice for Check Your Head. And this one, they went from like the New Orleans Lakefront Arena down to a small State Palace Theater. And then Foo Snickens was one of the opening acts. Yeah. And, that was 92. And then I drove the next night to Houston. I drove there and back in one night to see him again.
Wow. That's one of my biggest regrets in life, never seeing that tour.
Oh, it was insane. MCA climbed the speakers in the Houston show, you know, they're 20 feet high and stuff like that. And I think the show in Houston was at the place called the Unicorn, and it was like a supermarket that they turned into a club or something. It was that kind of place. And then the next show following, which was like, I think, November of 92 or something, was with Henry Rollins.
Yep.
And I gotta say, Henry Rollins kind of took the thunder away from the Beasties, because he did like three encores or something crazy.
What?
And
opening acts can't do encores?
Yeah, he did like three encores, and it just kind of drained the audience. And then the Beasties got it back going, but it was just kind of all right, we're ready for the Beasties now.
Come on, Henry.
Yeah. So, And then after that, it was, you know, ill communication with the, what was that, the Quadrophonic Tour, I believe?
Yeah, the Quadrophonic Stereo Tour.
Oh, was that, was Lollapalooza before or after?
Lollapalooza
that?
Was before, and then in 95 was the, either the Quadrophenia or Quadrophonic Stereo Tour.
Yep, and so I missed the New Orleans Lollapalooza, probably the only show I missed, and that was because it was my wife's birthday, so we went to go see Forrest Gump. But the next night I drove to Dallas and we saw Lollapalooza Dallas, I think two nights later or something.
All right, so you've been a fan along the way. How about Hello Nasty in the Round Tour?
Hello Nasty, that's the first time I saw them up in the Midwest. I saw them in Milwaukee and then in Chicago for the In the Round Tour, then Tibetan Freedom Concert 99.
Yeah, you were there?
Alpine Valley. I was there for that.
Okay, nice.
And then, let's see, what was after that? I saw BS 2000 a couple of times in, what was that, 01? I think that was before 9/11.
Yeah.
So I saw this
01.
2000. Yep. And then I guess we have to fast forward to the pageant tour, where I saw them in Madison, Wisconsin, and Chicago.
Now, did you tape for any of those?
No. I am technically challenged. I don't even know. I don't even own an iPod, so
wow.
I have to do old school. My wife has an iPod, but I stick it with the.
With CDs? CDs, not tapes, right?
And yeah, I've upgraded to CDs. And then you can find anything you want on YouTube. So
this is true. Oh, but man, an iPod would change your life.
You could have
every Beastie Boy album in a little box.
I know. I'm going to get there one day.
Now, have you ever met the Beastie Boys?
I met Ad Rock in... whenever the Hip Hop Honors was it 07, 06, 08?
Which, like the that? One they were honored? Or
yes,
the one where they played with Run DMC?
The one that they were actually honored.
Yeah.
What year was it? 08, I want to say.
It was, I can't remember. Yeah, but I know, but you were in New York for that?
Yeah, I did a 24-hour trip to New York, and I met up with a bunch of other board members. I literally flew in on a 6 a.m. flight, and then I was out on a 6 a.m. flight back, didn't even get a hotel. And you couldn't buy tickets to the show, but you could buy tickets to the after party some kind of way.
Uh-huh.
But through a friend by the name of Mr. Say Adams, he was able to get us in kind of last minute. We stood outside the red carpet for a while, and just when we thought we were going to be heading over to the after party, Pootie Tang's phone rang, and he was able to hook us up, which was pretty cool.
Now, what would happen at the after party? They didn't perform or anything at the
after party. No, they weren't there. Mixmaster Mike was up in the DJ booth. It wasn't a Mixmaster Mike show. He was just kind of spinning tunes.
Okay. Yeah, but that was a good time, too.
Yeah, so meeting Ad Rock, though, Pootie and I were just kind of walking around. We were going to go see all the Beastie sites, you know, the Paul's Boutique Corner and 59 Christie Street and that kind of stuff. So we were walking down Canal Street where O-Scope is, and sure enough, walking around the corner was Ad Rock, and we bumped into him. I was wearing my Oscilloscope shirt on, and Pootie's kind of a familiar face. You don't really forget his face.
So what, you bumped into Ad Rock just walking down the street?
Well, yeah, it was a block from O-Scope, so we knew we were in the O-Scope neighborhood, and he was
still
going to work that day. He was going to work that day, and we took a picture.
That's unbelievable.
I know. What are the odds?
So you saw him. Did you say, "Yo, Ad Rock, stop"?
Yeah, something like that. You know, trying not to be too geeky, but yeah.
And then he stopped.
He stopped. We talked a little bit. Talked about the Hip Hop Honor show, and I don't know, small talk, and that was about it.
And you took a picture?
We took a picture, yep.
Who took the picture?
Some guy walking down the street.
Okay, good, because I'm glad you could all be in the picture together.
Yes. And I think Adam was blinking or something, so he wanted to take another picture because it wasn't a good picture, which was kind of nice of him.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, as you know, he's very photogenic, so he has to make
it just
right.
He's a professional.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in the O-Scope neighborhood just praying that the Beastie Boys would be walking around, and it's never happened.
Well.
So it was destiny. It was fate.
Yeah.
All right, so, Laver, I have a feeling you're going to do pretty well on this 20 questions today.
You know, I would say 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, I would throw down the challenge to anybody on my Beastie knowledge, but... I think I've become a bit rusty as life happens with my family responsibilities and stuff. I have not been able to study as often as I would like. So I think I'm a bit rusty, but I'll give it my best shot.
All right. Father of four, correct?
That is correct.
And your son, you sent me a video, plays hockey now, mimicking the great Sidney Crosby trying to shoot hockey pucks into the family dryer.
That is the reason that that video was made, because of Sidney Crosby's Reebok commercial.
All right. We need to hang out sometime.
Sure.
Pittsburgh Penguins, Beastie Boys, come on.
Although we're Blackhawks fans, so.
I respect the Blackhawks.
Okay.
It's a good franchise.
Yes.
All right. Oh, you know the rules, by the way?
Yes, three multiple choice.
Three multiple choice. You answer 20 correct Beastie Boys questions. You and your family get a Beastie Boys diorama.
Okay, and I do get the special Say Adams treatment help.
You will get special treatment, and I'm trying to think what else. Oh, and as you know, sometimes they may ask you an incorrect question. So if you listen to this podcast back and you're like, whoa, Jim, you were wrong, I will give you another shot at 20 questions.
Okay.
So what I mean to say is that 20 questions is not flawless.
Right.
But sometimes it is. All right, here we go. Question number one, start the music. What was the name of the Beastie Boys' greatest hits album, not to be confused with their anthology album?
The greatest hits album was Solid Gold Hits.
Solid Gold Hits is correct. Question number two. Were the Beastie Boys on the album cover of Ill Communication?
On the album cover, they were not on the album cover. I think they were on the back of the CD.
Yes, you are correct. It's that Gorilla Monsoon-looking dude at the drive-thru.
Correct. Yes.
Question number three. We usually don't have one of these types of questions this early on, but we do today.
Uh-oh.
Which song am I? Mike D has a crazy hairdo like Don King. This song is played on instruments when the Beastie Boys perform it live. And we find out that the Beastie Boys have cameras on Mars. What song am I?
Remote Control.
Remote Control is correct. Labor, 3 for 3.
All right.
Question number four. In the 1990s, name the clothing company that the Beastie Boys, especially Mike D, were associated with.
Ooh, would that be Bathing Ape?
Here's my little Say Adams help.
Okay.
You're thinking too hard about this. And Bathing Ape came a little bit after that.
Well,
I guess I should have said early 90s.
Okay, repeat the story. Repeat the question then.
In the 1990s, name the clothing company that the Beastie Boys, especially Mike D, were associated with.
X-Large.
X-Large, you are correct. And their logo is an ape. So maybe, you know, maybe that monkey was on your brain. And then the Beastie Boys have Brass Monkey, so... All right. Anyway, question number five.
Have you ever had Brass Monkey?
I never have.
You can buy it at your liquor store. At least you were able to.
What does it taste like?
It's like orange and pineapple vodka.
Yes.
Kind of like it's a close relative of the screwdriver.
Because I've had a friend who had Brass Monkey once, and it made him go blind for like 20 minutes.
That might be a different kind of monkey.
Question number five. What do the tracks Stand Together, A Year and a Day, Bodhisattva Vow, The Update, and Flow and Prose have in common?
They are all Adam Yauch tracks.
Yes, you are correct. They are token solo MCA tracks. Question number six. I'm feeling good about this game of 20 questions. I don't want to jinx you, though.
I know.
Name the four proper music videos that the Beastie Boys made in support of the album To the Five Boroughs.
Oh, boy. Proper. So, Check It Out, definitely.
Okay.
Open Letter.
Okay.
Let me think. Triple Trouble.
Ookie doke.
Oh, right now.
Yes!
All right.
I can't tell you how depressed I would be if you went out on question six.
Oh, well, I'd like to make it to 10, and I'll be happy.
What is the first name of Adam Yauch's wife, a lady who is shouted out on the album Hello Nasty?
Adam Yauch's wife.
Grasshopper Unit. If you're familiar with that song, you're familiar with the name of his wife.
Oh, gosh. Hang on. Give me a second here.
And you still have three multiple choice options.
Yeah. I know Lose is his daughter. Gosh. I know it's going to come to me. How do you pronounce it? Deshin?
Judges, we will accept that answer. Deshin is correct. This one goes out to Deshin. Yes.
Okay.
And we know that you're playing fair, but once again, no computers,
right.
No laptops.
Oh, absolutely not.
No looking at posters during this game. But for a man who doesn't own an iPod, I don't think we have to worry about that. All right. You are correct, Deshin. Question number 8. During the hiatus from 1998 to 2004, Ad-Rock did guest rhymes on De La Soul's Squat and Hurricane's Kickin' Wicked Rhymes. What public figure does he diss in both of these tracks?
Wow, I would guess. Let me think here. I want to say it was like the mayor of New York or something, but let's go through a multiple choice.
All right, so you're using your first multiple choice.
Yes.
A, Dick Cheney, B, Condoleezza Rice, C, Rudy Giuliani, or D, George Bush?
Wow, I'm going to have to go with Giuliani.
Mayor Giuliani, you can go to hell and stick it. You are correct.
Hey, that was a guess.
You are correct. Because when both of those songs came out, I was like, wow, Ad-Rock's got a bone to pick with Giuliani.
Yep.
Who caused some drama in New York City around that time? Question number 9. For the album Check Your Head, the Beastie Boys built their own music studio. What was the name of that studio?
The son of the G-Sun.
G-Sun is correct. And do you know why it was called G-Sun?
Because it was after the G-Spot, which was their studio in during the Paul's Boutique days.
Did you know about the missing letters?
On
the building, it had the letters Gilson, G-I-L-S-O-N, the I and the L either weren't lit up or they fell off, and they're like, oh, G-Sun. G-Sun Studios.
Okay. I think that might, that rings a bell, but I always thought it was the son of the G, which was after the G-Spot, but
this can be debated on the Beastie Boys message boards. All right, so we go to question number 10.
Yes.
During the Beastie Boys' touring cycle for The Mix-Up, what was the defining characteristic of their onstage musical equipment?
For the gala-type shows, they were dressed in suits, and they just played their instruments.
Yes. Now, you went to these shows, correct?
Yes.
The drums, the amplifiers...
Yes.
What did they have in common?
The drums and the amplifiers.
And some of the other equipment on stage. It's a tough one.
What did they have in common?
Yes.
The clear... you're talking about, like, the clear casings.
You know what? I'm not going to let you think anymore. You are correct.
Okay.
Yes, it was in clear plastic.
Okay.
And part of me thought that better play well because it looks cool, but if it doesn't sound good, then I don't give a crap about you playing with clear musical equipment.
Right.
All right, yes, you are correct. We move on to question number 11. In May of 2009, the Beastie Boys appeared on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and performed So What You Want. What was so unique about this instrumental?
the Roots accompanied them. I have that saved on my DVR, and I do have a DVR.
Laver, you are correct. The Roots provided the instrumental. Question number 12.
Who also opened for them back on the Quadrophonic.
Yes, yes. They go back a ways. Question number 12. And the time I saw them live, it was Hurricane, Bad Brains, and the Beastie Boys. I think the Bad Brains got in trouble with the law, so it was only Hurricane opening up and then the Beastie Boys. All right, question number 12. Since the Beastie Boys began blogging on their website not too long ago, which of the following has not been a blog post? And speaking of the current blog post, on this episode of the Brouhaha Laver, we have my buddy DJ Katanga, and for years he was upset that the Beastie Boys didn't want Prodigy to play Smack My Bitch Up in the late 90s.
Really?
And I said, listen, Tom, I'm like, the Beastie Boys have grown up, and it shows that they have grown up because they have a newspaper cover that says Beach Slap, a play on Bitch Slap, and I don't think that would have ever been on the Beastie Boys website back in 1998.
I would agree. They've lightened up a little bit.
Yes. So Tom sees, there you go. All right, so since the Beastie Boys began blogging on the website not too long ago, which of the following has not been a blog post? A, Blake Griffin Duncan. B, Ad Rock yearning for a pair of Alyssa Milano Green Bay Packer jeans. C, the shout-out Girl Scout cookie, mentioned as the official cookie of hip-hop. Or D, Big Bird breakdancing.
Oh, my God.
This is tough.
This is very tough, and I thought I was fairly up on it. Oh, my God. Give those to me again.
This is
Girl Scout cookie, I remember that one.
Okay. So you remember the Girl Scout cookie. I may help you out a little bit on this one, too. So you remember the Girl Scout cookies? They're called shout-outs, and then Ad Rock said it's the official cookie of hip-hop. Blake Griffin dunking. Ad Rock yearning for a pair of Alyssa Milano Green Bay Packer jeans, or Big Bird breakdancing?
Let's see. I'm not up on my basketball knowledge, but unless you're trying to trick me, there's probably a basketball post. The jeans, I remember that now. So I'm going to have to go with Big Bird.
Big Bird, final answer.
Final answer.
You are correct. In retrospect, kind of a tough question. So let me apologize to you for that question.
No problem. I mean, I checked their blogs and
right. Because the thing is, the Ad Rock one with the Alyssa Milano jeans, I think he had like a list of 10, and you had to click on a link to actually find that.
And I remember clicking on, I don't know if I clicked on them all, but I clicked on a half dozen of them probably.
Yeah, so in that massive post was buried Alyssa Milano wearing a pair of Green Bay Packer jeans.
And that was right around the Super Bowl, I believe. So.
A little bit before.
Okay.
But it did open the dialogue on a previous episode of the Brouhaha where Mike D is wearing a Green Bay Packer sock cap during some of the photos for ill communication.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So we move on to question number 13. The music is still playing. Pollywog Stew was released by what record label?
Pollywog Stew was released by Rat Cage.
Final
answer.
You are correct. Rat Cage Records. Question number 14. Marching on to question number 20. I love it.
Ooh.
Who is not shouted out in the song Shadrach? A, Bruce Willis. B, Rambo. C, Alfred E. Newman. D, Mario Andretti.
Okay. I'm a diehard like my kid, Bruce Willis. That's looking down the barrel of a gun.
A lot of shout-outs in Paul's Boutique.
Yes, there are. So Mario Andretti is definitely in there. What was the one before Mario?
Alfred E. Newman and Rambo.
Alfred E. Newman's definitely in there. Bruce Willis shouted out twice.
Two great action heroes of the 1980s.
Oh, man. Rambo, Bullets, like, man, get Bruce Willis. That's in the same lyric. That's Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun, I'm pretty sure. My kid Bruce Willis, Jesus, that lyric stuck in my head.
Now let me just say that, I don't want to confuse you, maybe I'll help you. I think, like, I'm a Die Harder like my man Bruce Willis.
Yeah. But that, I thought that rhymes with bullets, and Rambo's got bullets, like, I'm a Die Harder like my kid Bruce Willis, like my man Bruce Willis. So I think that whole lyric, without going to Google, is in a different song. So, Bruce Willis. I guess I'm going to go Rambo. Final answer.
Oh, you son of a gun.
Ah, shoot.
Why? Why?
Oh, man.
Why?
Oh, well.
Right when I... Right when I asked the question and you said, looking down the barrel of a gun, I was like, he's got it.
Yeah.
No!
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, man. So, it was Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is not in Shadrach.
Yes.
Okay.
Rambo is. And just so we don't have to play this again, let me just pull it up to make it official. Got Even Like Steven, like pulling a Rambo.
Like pulling a Rambo.
Shadrach Meshach, Abednego. Shout it out in Shadrach.
Oh, well. Yep. There was a whole literary assignment done by someone in college back in, like, the early 90s on Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego and the lyrics. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't, but I like the breakdown in the 33 and a third book.
Okay.
How the Beastie Boys almost equated themselves to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a furnace. Much like them being thrown into the furnace of Def Jam.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
But there's if I find it, I'll shoot you over the email. It's a funny little article that someone, you know, took very seriously.
And also in 33 and a third, they take Johnny Rael very seriously too.
I was like, I'm looking forward to the video you got to see, the short film with Johnny Rael in there.
Now, have you heard anything from the new album besides the stuff that we've heard?
I have not. I did try to YouTube make some noise, and I got Hannah Montana. I guess she has a song of the same name, so that it's not on there yet. I keep waiting for them to surprise us with a blurb or a snippet or something.
Yeah, just something, because when I was at the screening, they said that the single is going to be released around the same time that the album's coming out. And I think I heard now that it's going to be released late March. So,
May.
No.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the single?
Single late March, album coming out April 19th.
And someone posted that has moved back to May 3rd.
What? Now, who said that?
A couple of NME, a couple of websites are reporting that, but who knows?
All right, so... But the thing is, we won't get a single, and we won't have it for 3 months. Basically, everything's going to come out around the same time.
Now, are they going to be showing it at, is it South by Southwest?
I don't know, because they do have a film festival, so it would make sense to show it at South by Southwest.
When Awesome I Shot That came out, you know, they did Sundance, and they did South by Southwest, and they did a couple of other little film festivals.
I know. Well, I will be down there, so if the Beastie Boys perform... and I can find out about the damn show, I will be there.
Very good. I will tell Pootie to get his butt over there because he lives just a couple hours from Austin.
Well, Laver, you need to be on again.
Well, thank you.
If not playing 20 questions, just to shoot the crap about the Beastie Boys.
Sounds like a plan.
And thank you for appearing because we had to kind of jostle our schedules to make this happen. So I thank you for doing that.
No problem. Thank you very much. Have safe travels.
Yes, thank you. So, for Laver 1969, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yins later.
That's it. That's all there is. Come on. Chris.
Yo, we're going to end it on a 1-2-3 note. Are you ready? 1-2-1-2-3.
I guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha. Cause it's a brouhaha.